Look, up in the sky, it's a bird.
It's a plane.
Superman.
You wanted to see me?
Hey, this is Brandon Routh, and you're listening to What We're Drinking with Dan Dunn.
Well, pour yourself a glass, sit for a spill. It's time to have some fun. Let's do a little thinking, some picking and a drinking. Well, this is what we're drinking with Dan Dunn.
Welcome to the show. Joining me in just a few minutes, Brandon Routh. That's right, Brandon Routh. He is the first actor to play Superman after Christopher Reeve originated the role in the big movies. I mean, there were, you know, George Reeves way back in the day, but Christopher Reeve, first one in the movies, and then Christopher Reeve was injured, as we know, he passed away. And then Brandon Routh came along and did Superman Returns. And now Superman is here. It's not returning. It's the first time we're going to have Superman. This is the first Superman we've ever had. Real Superman on What We're Drinking. Brandon Routh, going to be in a couple minutes. What we're drinking is Templeton's 10-year single barrel rye whiskey. It's brand new. This Templeton Rye 10-year reserve is really just a true expression of what American rye whiskey can be. As the name suggests, it come from single barrel. It's aged a full decade in American oak barrels. And I got to tell you, this thing is just smooth, and it's got dark oak and honeyed floral notes on it. And then, boy, oh boy, it's a good one. Goes for about $85 a bottle. It's 104 proof. And Templeton brought this out in conjunction with a program they're doing called the Templeton Distillery Strong Spirited Entrepreneurs Grant Program, in which they're going to be awarding three small businesses $10,000 each. And Templeton's from Iowa, which is how Brandon Routh came in. He's also from Iowa, as is Hill Harper from The Good Doctor. And they're going to be judging or helping to judge the grant winners. And how that works is you got to be a U.S.-based business. You're invited to apply for the Templeton Distillery Entrepreneurs Grant, except you can't sell alcohol or owned by anyone under the age 21. If that's the case, you can't enter. But to enter, you're going to submit 250 words about why you should be considered for this grant. And entries are going to be judged on originality, contributions to the local community, and business viability. To enter the contest or get more information about the contest, go to templetondistillery.com or on social media, at Templeton Distillery. You can also get info on the 10-year-old reserve rye there. Rye whiskey. I love whiskey. I really do. I mean, I am a card-carrying member of the International Drinking Press. 20-some years spent making a professional study of whiskey, right? I've devoted with several ex-girlfriends and overzealous members of the professional recovery community might call an excessive amount of time and energy to dipsomaniacal disquisition. Fancy way of saying drinking. Personally, I don't see any reason for concern. Yeah, is it the kind of job they steer you towards on career day in high school? No. But like my dear old grandma used to say, before her liver finally gave out, one man's poison is another man's bacon-infused vodka. As time goes by and I get a little longer in the tooth, I've come to realize that what's most significant about my chosen profession isn't what I've learned about whiskey. It's what whiskey has taught me about life. For instance, whiskey's taught me to believe that anything's possible. So in the sober light of day, no way I'd wager $500 on a game of nine ball against a guy named Deadeye Dick who carries his own gold-plated cue stick. But I've done that. I have done that in a bar. Whiskey's also taught me the value of diplomacy. Engage in enough booze-fueled conversations with drunken strangers. Trouble's bound to rear its ugly head. We know this. Let's say I were to make an impolitic remark about the Kansas City Chiefs' chances for winning the Super Bowl again, and the biggest Chiefs fan in the world quickly develops a strong opinion about the manliness of my Philadelphia Eagles t-shirt. In fact, he offers to butch it up a bit by decorating it with my own blood. Now, back when I was a young buck full of beer and bravado, I'd have taken the bait and probably taken a savage beating. But the soothing balm that is fine whiskey has mellowed me, friends. It's mellowed me. It showed me that the best way forward is usually the path toward nonviolent resolution. So I would apologize, and I would offer to buy a round. And that would settle things down, at least momentarily. But I wouldn't let the fleeting feeling of brotherhood lull me into a false sense of security. I know I need to get out of Dodge ASAP, because eventually that Chiefs fan's going to forget all about the conciliatory whiskey I bought him. And ironically, he's going to forget it because of that whiskey I bought him, and remember that I referred to his hero Patrick Mahomes as a poor man's Tom Brady. Whiskey's imparted invaluable lessons about math, too. So, for instance, did you know that if you multiply the number of whiskeys drank in a session by 10, subtract from your body weight, divide by 4, add 1 for every decade you've been alive, you get the precise number of hours you'll be hungover the next day? Try it. Works every time. Which brings me to the most important lesson whiskey has taught me, and that is to know your limitations. I'm not proud of this, but I've spent a couple mornings curled up next to the toilet on a cold bathroom floor, shaking, sweating, and swearing to all that is good and holy that I would never, ever, ever drink whiskey again. Then recently, during the pandemic, I overdid it one day or night, and I had another bout of unwellness on that cold bathroom floor. I experienced something akin to what all those ex-girlfriends and overzealous members of the professional recovery community had predicted I someday would. A moment of clarity. So the time had come to do what was necessary, and I determined right there and then that I would. No more excuses, no more next times. In case you're wondering, I didn't decide to cut back on the drinking. I went out and I bought a really comfortable bathroom rug. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Solutions, baby. It's all about the solutions. And since we're on the subject of hangovers, anybody feel like hearing from Glenn Howerton? It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia's Glenn Howerton on the subject of hangovers. I do. Let's do it. And then we'll get to Brandon Ralph.
No, I'll tell you something.
He doesn't really get hungover.
I've never had a problem with hangovers, but part of that is because I don't drink a bunch of sugar. Honestly.
I tried that. That's bullshit.
No, it's not. I'll tell you something.
For you, but for me, I've gone the vodka thing.
Well, I'll tell you.
It's about how much you're drinking.
The secret really is drinking top shelf liquor.
Yeah.
And mixing it with tons of water.
You gotta
hydrate. The best drunk is to drink tequila all night, top shelf tequila all night, and do it in shots and drink water all night.
Do you get worried?
You hear that, America?
Get out there.
Top shelf.
Top shelf,
baby. Then go home and sleep in your hyperbolic chamber. Get your transfusion.
Well, everyone has a hyperbolic chamber, and everyone has the...
I don't know if you know who's listening in my show. It's like fucking... When we used to do the show
degenerates.
We used to do it live, and all the phone calls would be seemingly like...
Truck drivers
in Kansas, and they just can't wait to call in.
But listen, Dan, I want to make something very, very clear.
Yes.
Because what I don't want the perception to be, Glenn Howerton, he went to Hollywood, they got a TV show, he used to be a degenerate.
Classically chained, Juilliard graduate.
but now that he's got all this money and he's this Hollywood guy that he's like
tons
cleaned up his diet and all this
tons
kind of shit.
Good looking, nice wardrobe.
I was always this way. I was always like, I mean, before Rob and I even did the show, before I even had money, I was doing the best I could to eat healthy and, you know, not drink a bunch, not eat a bunch of sugar. So I've always been a douchebag in that respect. What some people would consider to be douchey, what I would consider to be a responsible denizen of the earth.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
You know, but it's not all whiskey here at What We're Drinking headquarters. A lot of times I like to drink rum. Just any rum. I'm talking about Batiste rum. First sustainable American craft rum. I call it a 3R rum because the makers of Batiste rum practice regenerative agriculture, they use renewable energy, and they make responsible choices. Batiste rum is made from 100% pure fresh cane juice, minimal processing, single distillation. It is distilled sunshine. I'm walking on sunshine. Check out batisterum.com to learn more. That is B-A-T-I-S-T-E-R-H UM.com. That H in rum is a tip of the hat to the French Caribbean where it's sourced. And as I like to say, the H is silent, but I promise you, you won't be. You're going to be telling everybody you know to get some. We have had lots of amazing guests on this show before. Very grateful for that, but I can tell you, we've never had Superman. Never had Superman until now. Maybe he's not really Superman, but he played the Man of Steel in the movies. Very excited to welcome Brandon Routh to the show. Brandon, how are you?
Hey, Dan. Thanks. I'm good. Thanks for having me. Definitely not Superman, but have played him.
You have? 2006.
Working every day to try to be more like Superman.
Yes. Aren't we all?
Yeah.
One of my favorite quotes was, I'm not a praying man. It was from The Simpsons. I'm not a praying man, but if you're up there, Superman, save me. Homer. So man, thanks for joining. You are here today because we're doing a little thing with Templeton Rye, which is from Iowa, which
That's
is
right.
where you're from.
And right.
Look
Locally
at this.
Grown.
Got it going right there. I've been, man. I wrote a book called American Wino, where I drove around the United States and I went to most of sections of the US, and I did go to Iowa and I visited numerous wineries there, a place called Jasper in Des Moines. I don't know if you're
familiar.
Somerset, which I think
in Indianola, I think, or there's somebody in Indianola.
Indianola, that's Somerset, and then Tassel Ridge, which is in Layton, I believe. So I hit three wineries.
How did we do?
You know what, man? I got to tell you, you know, they make wine in every state in the United States, and
amazing.
The wines in Iowa were good. You know, I mean, they're not Napa Valley. They're not, you know, they're not maybe the Finger Lakes, but what is happening around the country is impressive. And I remember Somerset in particular was such a beautiful property. And, and it was so nice to just see tons of people in Iowa doing wine tastings. I thought it was brilliant, man. So anyway, we're here to talk about rye whiskey, and you're
That's
doing
right.
a thing with Templeton Rye.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about what you're doing.
Well, Templeton, this is their 10-year age, 10 years that they just, that they just have come out with. And in part of celebration of that, they're also have created this competition to give $10,000 to three small businesses to help kickstart the business and to support small business, because Templeton was a small business. Probably still is a small business, considered a small business, but came from a small town in Iowa. And the crazy time that we've all had the last year and a half, looking to help do what they can to help the community and kickstart other small businesses.
You know, I just tried, we just held up this whiskey here, and this is the, what is this, the 10 year? Is this the new, the new 10 year single barrel rye whiskey. And it's a really, really delicious whiskey for about $85, 104 proof. How much of a source of pride is it for you to, you know, have a brand like this from, you know, when you think about the iconic whiskey brands, you don't necessarily think Iowa.
The Highlands of Iowa.
Yeah, exactly. So how much of a source of pride is that for you?
I think it's very cool. You know, we're very proud of Iowans doing good things and making a good name for Iowa. Because we are considered a flyover state and we don't have any professional sports teams, we find pride in, you know, our football teams, college football teams and basketball teams and people who go out and do good things and companies who go out and make a name for themselves. So we're very proud of, and I'm very proud of the work that Templeton's done. And when I became aware of them a few years ago, you know, I thought it was a pretty amazing achievement to have that, to be so renowned from my small state.
Now, have you been a whiskey drinker?
I have not been a whiskey drinker. I'm becoming more of a whiskey drinker. I was a bartender back before I kind of started acting to make money or made enough money acting. And I went to this bartending school that they have in Los Angeles. And learned to be a bartender and really got into making drinks. So I was very much into what kind of recipes can I come up with, these crazy drinks that I can come up with. So this was not as exciting because you just pour the drink. So I was more into drinking and creating other things. But as I've gotten older, I've definitely gone away from that and the sugar and all that and appreciate
some neat whiskey.
I definitely tend to be more like I like a couple cubes of ice every once in a while, but first you got to try it this way first.
Yeah, and at 104 proof, I mean, it's not going to kick your ass too much, but certainly putting some ice in there or a little bit of water is going to open it up a little bit. By the way, what would you say the percentage of actors who were in that bartending school? It had to be 80%, right?
You know, I wish they had a wall of fame of all the people that came from there. Yes, but that were actual actors, yeah.
Where did you work?
Probably 80%.
What bars in L.A.?
I worked at, just one, Lucky Strike Lanes.
Yeah, the one at Hollywood and Highland?
Yeah, the initial one, just a few months after it opened. So I worked there for, until I booked Superman, I worked there, which was only, a year and a half.
So people listening out there know Hollywood and Highland, what Brandon's talking about, is where the Oscars are held. So yeah. I got to imagine while you're working your shifts, are you ever having that fantasy of like someday?
We had also two stories about that. One, Stephen Foster from Iowa created Lucky Strike with his wife, Jillian. And their sons are both actors. Ben Foster.
Ben Foster. Yeah. He's great. Man.
And the
other less successful son. No, I'm kidding.
What else was I going to say about that was, we hosted when it was the Kodak Theater, the Academy Awards were there. And so people came, we were the pathway, the way through to people getting to their cars, to going outside, to leaving. So everybody came down through our elevator and through the bar. And I served Paul Giamatti, I think it was just water, but he had his Oscar when he won.
Amazing.
So that was before I had done anything. So this is amazing.
You hear so many stories like that. I've talked to so many celebs on this show and others, you know, where they're working somewhere. And I mean, one of the big ones, a friend of mine worked with, Maniscalco, Sebastian Maniscalco, who's a huge comedian now, like sells out in Madison Square Garden. My friend used to work with him at, I think, the Four Seasons in Beverly. He was a waiter. You know, and I heard him telling a story about how he was waiting on Al Pacino, you know, and just going, someday, you know.
One of my favorite people that I served in a private party, I don't remember it was a birthday party for just somebody who I don't think they were famous necessarily, but there's a private room in Lucky Strike for private parties. And so we had a lot of celebrities parties and fancy things. And Dave Grohl was there.
Oh, wow.
And I served him some kind of whiskey. I don't remember what it was. And I didn't really say anything. I just said hello, and I didn't freak out. But that was one of the highlights for me back in the day.
Yeah, it's been one of the joys on doing this show, and a lot of it over the last year. Obviously, we've been doing it over Zoom. But even more so, I think, than in person. You know, for instance, I remember I had Bryan Cranston on not long ago, and he and I just kept going after we finished taping. Like, we're just drinking mess. And you just kind of, it's a unifying thing, you know, the spirits. And it just kind of, everybody sort of lets their hair down a little bit. It's a lot of fun. So, touching back on, when you get this break, like, it's not only a break, it's a huge break, right? I mean, Superman. And Superman, people have to remember, at the time you took that role, that franchise had been dormant for a while, right?
More than 20 years. Nobody had played Superman on screen other than Christopher Reeve on the big screen. It was very, very, very daunting task, but one that my whole journey in a weird way had kind of been leading to that, my whole journey in Hollywood. And so by that time, 4 years into my Hollywood journey, or 5 years into my Hollywood journey, I kind of felt like, oh, this is what's supposed to happen. So my Iowa naivete and, you know, kind of helped in that way to protect me from some of the big concern that I probably should have had.
So it wasn't this thing where you were overwhelmed. I mean, it just kind of seemed like a natural progression of things for you.
Yeah. I mean, it was a lot of work and a lot of heartache going into it. The casting process was 7 month long, you know, ups and downs, but it felt like I was moving toward that. And in a weird way. And so I was a little bit unaware of the pressure, the studio pressures that I think now I would be understanding how the business works. At that point, I was like, I don't know. I was green enough to know to get to slide under the radar, I guess, as far as that's concerned. And it helped me keep my head above water, I think, more than if I would have known the reality.
Well, it's what's crazy about that then is that I think the movie made maybe just under $400 million or something.
Yeah.
And that was considered not a massive success. So when you're dealing in the, like now, I think you book a comic book movie now, you know, and you're carrying it. Most of these movies now, and I don't follow a lot of them, but it seems like it's big ensemble casts. But back then, not only did you have the pressure of being Superman, Christopher Reeve was beloved, and we all know what happened to him. And I remember back then, like there being a lot of like, who the hell is this guy? You know, like people really were precious about that first movie. And man, for you to come in and handle it the way you did and do a great, I remember watching the movie and thinking it was great way back in the day, you know, so
Thanks. Congrats
on that. I'm just sitting here now going, who does he look like? You know, you look like you, but it's something in Iowa. They just feed, cause you're what, like 6'2" or something?
6'3".
So I have a friend from Iowa, also big, also famous guy, older than you, looks like you, Mark Steinis. Used to host Entertainment Tonight. Do you remember Mark Steiner?
Okay.
Looks, you guys, he's from Iowa too. Yeah. What is it? Is it the corn? What is it that you get to be 6 foot? I'm 5'10".
The corn, the milk, all that stuff, probably.
The whiskey,
you know,
the Templeton rye.
I wasn't drinking that when I was, but yeah, the energy of that, the Iowa energy. You know, I probably just who settled there. You know, I got the 23andMe thing, so I've done that.
Hardy folk.
I am 98% or 99.6% from England and Europe, but mostly England, Irish, Scottish. So it's that, you know, and they all came to Iowa.
Your ancestors swam here across the Atlantic Ocean. That's how tough they were. And then hiked it right through the country over to Iowa. Real quick, before I let you go, man, I just want to ask you, what do you do when you're doing cocktail? I know right now you're doing it neat or you're doing it with rocks. Are you an old fashioned fan? I mean, what kind of rye cocktails do you like to make?
I haven't experimented with a lot. I've made a lot of old fashions back in the day. When I was bartender, when I have actually sat and sampled it myself, that is the way I would like to drink it because, you know, that little bit of sugar, and the cherry is nice to have in there to complement all the flavors and bring it out. I've never really been much of just sitting down and drinking a Manhattan or something like that, but maybe in my older days. Yeah. Is that even rye? I can't even remember now. Can you make a Manhattan with just rye?
You can do bourbon too. Yeah.
Bourbon.
You can, at this point, I think you can swap in anything now. I think people have gotten really creative. Brandon Routh is doing the Templeton Distillery Entrepreneur Grant Program, representing Iowa. You're doing it with Hill Harper from The Good Doctor is also involved in this. It's a really cool program. And three small businesses are going to get $10,000.
Yeah, you can go to Templeton Distillery, their IG page, and they'll link you to all the information. It's open now until, I think, July 1st, I think, applications. And anybody in the United States any small business in the United States can apply. You can't have anything to do with liquor, unfortunately, I think is the only, and you have to be over 21.
Did podcasts count? Maybe I get into some of that action?
Well, it's liquor podcast. I don't know. Maybe some kind of influence there.
I think somebody might look into that if I were to win. Brandon Routh, I really appreciate you taking the time to join us again. You're our first Superman. You're probably going to be the only Superman.
Well, there aren't that many.
Who's the other guy? The big British guy. What's his name?
Henry.
Yeah, and wasn't Henry Ben Affleck Superman? No, he was Batman.
Ben did play a Superman. Yes,
he did.
He did that very well. He played George Reeves, who another fellow Iowan, who was.
Oh, that's right,
you know,
in that movie. Yes, who was a very tragic
Hollywood
figure, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Hollywoodland is the name of that.
Hollywoodland, that's right. Well, if we were to have Ben on the show, that would mean Ben suffered some sort of setback. Yeah. So I hope we never have him on this show. Ben, you stay on the straight and narrow. Brandon Routh, thank you for joining us. And
thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me. Hey, can we get, we do these promos in the beginning. Do you mind doing a, hey, this is Brandon Routh, and you're listening to What We're Drinking with Dan Dunn or something like that. Or you can get creative or, you know.
Sure.
Okay.
Hey, this is Brandon Routh, and you're listening to What We're Drinking with Dan Dunn.
Look at that. You nailed it, man. Hey, dude, I really appreciate you taking the time, man. A lot of fun. I wish it was a little bit later in the day. I'd be hitting this with you.
I know.
But I got
to... I'm just having a little sip just to make it, just for the selling of it.
Yeah, I just
it's
got
this. It's
very
nice, though. I liked it this morning more than I did the other day when I opened it up.
Look, Temple,
I don't know what that says.
They've done great, man. They've done really great stuff, Templeton. I mean, in terms of just getting into the bar community and kicking some ass and all that. So, yeah.
So many brands out there. It's ridiculous to be able to cut through all that. I know when I was a bartender, there were so many different brands that had come in and we had them for about a month and then they'd be gone.
That is a great story though, man, to be working, I used to go into Lucky Strike. It was a lot of fun, you know, but.
The funny thing, I played a bartender on One Life to Live. So I did the bartending. I have lots of bartending stories, but I was a bartender. Excuse me. I took that bartending class. But before I got a job as a bartender, I booked a soap opera job on New York and One Life to Live. I went there, played a bartender on that, then got fired off that show after a year, came back, didn't work for a year, then got a job as a bartender, as a real bartender.
Wait, how'd you get fired off the show? They didn't...
The character they wrote for me, I was this character, Seth, and the backstory was that Seth was a kid from the wrong side of the tracks who tried to get in his best friend's older brother's Puerto Rican street gang.
Okay. Yeah.
So that's, you know, if I don't just like come out and say guy from the wrong side of the tracks, especially 20 years ago.
Scary. Well, you know, the original guy from the wrong side of the tracks, of course, was Stamos on Blackie. His name was Blackie on General Hospital. Do you remember that? And he was.
I don't remember that.
That was his.
I did watch that back in the day because the woman who watched me went from 0 to 5 years old. I used to watch General Hospital with him, but I don't remember.
He was the bad boy on. I think he somehow was tied in with Luke and Laura. It was way back in the day,
yeah.
And that was, I think, Stamos's first big break. So, anyway, man, I know you're on a tight schedule. I appreciate you you hanging with me here for a couple minutes, and this will go up in a few weeks. And
awesome.
Best of luck to you, man.
Thanks, Dan. Same to you.
All right.
See you around.
Cheers, brother.
Cheers.
If I've said it once, I've said it 1,000 times. You can buy the finest spirits in the world to make craft cocktails at home, but if you use crap mixers, you're gonna get crap drinks. Let's face it, whipping up cocktails at home can be an expensive hassle, and that's why I am all about Fresh Victor. Fresh Victor is a line of all-natural, clean-label cocktail mixers that brings the magic of master mixologist into your home. All of the ingredients are fair trade sourced. There's no artificial anything. The mixers are produced at 100% solar-powered juicing plant with absolutely no waste. They're non-GMO, kosher, gluten-free, cold-pressed. It's all the good stuff. I could go on and on and on. Fresh Victor features 7 unique blends with contemporary flavors designed to suit any palate. And Fresh Victor is ready to drink the moment you bring it home. Simply serve cold with ice, the spirit of your choice, or get fancy with one of their in-house mixologist award-winning recipes. Available nationwide direct to your door via FreshVictor.com. It's also coming soon to a retailer near you. In the world of cocktail mixes, there's a holy grail, and that's Fresh Victor. I saw an article last week published in the New York Post with the headline, "Why the Hot New Alcohol Trend is Cutting Back or Even Quitting." I thought I'd address it because I find these things to be a bit misleading. And it begins by talking about an advertising, somebody worked in advertising who lost her job and she decided to quit, and which is great. Good for you. I respect everybody's choice when it comes, but it's more these kinds of articles again drive me nuts when they equate, you know, a few personal stories to some massive trend. Okay, so she talks this woman about taking a break and getting into the zero proof movement. They talk about an explosion of booze free drinks. Then later on in the article, they point out that this accounts for less than 3%. Of the market, but that they expect it to grow over the next few years. Not offering a lot of proof in that area. It does talk about a study by the American Psychological Association that people were drinking more during the pandemic. No shit. People re-examine a lot of things in their lives over the during the pandemic, and alcohol as well. And again, I need to stress that I am not making light of anybody who is actually struggling with alcohol. My point is that you can't put this stuff out there and say, oh, they talk about Chrissy Teigen announced her sobriety. Congratulations, Chrissy. But because Chrissy Teigen announced her sobriety doesn't mean everybody is, okay? One of the quotes from here from an author from Brooklyn said the pandemic became an opportunity to explore sobriety because there was no social pressure to drink. Sure, get it. It talked about alcohol-free bars that have opened up mainly in Brooklyn. We used to call those coffee shops, but now they're calling them alcohol-free bars. They talk about a lot of the different brands that are popping up and offering alcohol-free experience. It's the bar experience, but without booze. Call me old-fashioned, but bars are for drinking. You can have, there's plenty of places where there is no drinking allowed, and have those places. They need to exist, but don't call them bars. They're not bars. My God. A place called Listen Bar in Williamsburg. It's the first zero-proof pub. It's not a pub. It's not a pub. Getting all fired up about this stuff. You know, look, alcohol companies, InBev that owns Budweiser and Stella, they're investing heavily in the zero proof market. Then there are also the low to no proof segment. It's getting up there. Love to hear what you think about it. Hit me up at the Imbiber on Twitter or Instagram. I'd like to hear your thoughts on whether or not you can call a place a bar if they don't serve alcohol. I say no. Can you call it a cocktail if it doesn't contain alcohol? I say no, but what do I know? I know this. I'm going to be in New York City at the Stand Comedy Club, which has a bar there. It sells and it serves alcohol. It's that kind of bar. June 16th, Wednesday, June 16th, performing this podcast, a live recording of this podcast with actor Colin Donnell, comedians Joe DeRosa, Christina Hutchinson, and Justin Silver. For tickets, go to thestandnyc.com. Go to Wednesday, June 16th and get your tickets there. I would love to see you. Come up and say hi. I want to thank Brandon Routh for joining me on this program. I want to thank you for joining me on this program. And I look forward to our next encounter.